Right.
Clearly, because of the booming economy and the rapid change, China has already transformed from a country ravaged by poverty to a nation with the largest number of billionaires in the world. Entrepreneurship or entrepreneurism is rife in China amongst both Chinese people and foreigners, but it is a world that everyone can run his own business. Or are there hidden challenges? So we have Robert Parkinson. Parkinson already laughed just now. Founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business, comes to the studio today to talk about how to become an entrepreneur here in China. Robert, you're not supposed to laugh before I introduce you.
I'll remember that next time. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Great to be here.
You know, Robert, this topic really kills me because I am so lack of confidence in becoming a business lady. I knew that long time ago that I was not born for that. But some people said no, because you haven't learned enough knowledge or skills or whatever, or trained in the area. So what is your question?
Well, that's an interesting one, actually, because I have heard it be said that the more academic and intellectual people are too smart to be entrepreneurs. That, you know, you need an element of the blind leading the blind to be a good entrepreneur. And I think one of the qualities is absolute conviction and drive in what you're doing. So I think you should take that as a compliment and not the other way around.
Really? Okay, I can sleep well today.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about the qualifications in general. You know, I think entrepreneurs are different from ordinary people, different from all of us. So what sort of a bunch of people are they? What sort of qualifications they own?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I, as an entrepreneur myself, I have the feeling that from a very early age, I had a desire to make money and be an entrepreneur. And I can remember selling stuff to my parents at the age of 6, and then running a kind of direct marketing business at the age of 16. And now I'm running three businesses, actually, in various different areas. I think, you know, a desire not to have a boss is a key point. I spent 10 years working for a company, and I felt that was very much my education in business, because it was a brilliant company, but I was a nightmare to manage, and my bosses, I'm sure, were delighted when I finally disappeared to do my own thing. Because entrepreneurs are, I think, so self-confident and self-willed, they don't want to be managed. They've got their own ideas about what they want to do.
Interesting.
So I think that's one thing. And then, as we touched on, I think you've got to have that sense of self-belief and confidence and desire, just on willingness, rather, not to give up.
Oh.
And to keep going, you know, whatever the odds. However much the chips are down, you've got to keep going and keep driving ahead.
I try to reflect about how I have been faring. I think I definitely missed these two qualifications. Number one, not really much interested in money. Uh-huh. I mean, I love money, you know, the more the better, right?
Yeah.
But if you ask me to commit to making money, not doing things that I'm interested in, no, I would say, no, I don't want this money.
Sure.
This is number one. Number two is that I never really want to be a leader.
Yeah.
Because it's so complicated. It takes so much energy and human skills to be leading groups of people. Because everyone is different from the other, right?
Yeah.
How can you, you know, manage and bring them together and then, you know, build up the team and then do the same thing? So these two qualities, one is interested in money, like when you were little, you're interested in making money, right? The second is you want to be your own boss.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to touch on the second point first, the leadership requirement it's an interesting scenario, because it's something that a lot of business owners lack, actually, leadership skills. I would say I'm probably one of the worst leaders that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I aspire to be better, and I aspire to be a good manager, but there are many people I know who are far better managers than I am, and indeed people in my company. who are better leaders and better managers. But yes, you have got to grasp that willingness to be a leader. On the money point, I think...
No, talking about money, sure. Money point later.
Sure,
talking
sure, sure.
about leadership.
Yeah.
How can you lead somebody who challenges you or who thinks they are better than you? How do you convince them?
Well, I think you want that in an organization. And I think, you know, part of being a mature leader and something I've learned, actually, is that, you know, you can't run a company if you've got a company full of people who are less well qualified than you or less good than you. You know, you want brighter people. You're doing well as a manager or a leader if you hire good people. So, you know, if someone has a piece of criticism for me, the first thing I do is I reframe that as not criticism, but feedback. You know, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just feedback. I think there's a first important thing. The second thing is you're showing great respect to the people that work for you if you are open to listen to their ideas. And, you know, one of the things we stress at RMG is this concept of teamwork as a point of differentiation. And I know that we are far stronger by combining and sharing ideas and showing our willingness to do so because of that respect.
Yeah, my understanding also is the worst thing about a business is to suppress someone. I mean, the management try to suppress someone who's outsmart the management, right? And this
right.
actually is fatal.
Right, to, right.
And then what about, okay, so put away, from what you said just now, I kind of conclude that you have to put away your self-esteem. Or your face thing. You know, in Chinese culture, we care so much about our face.
Yeah,
how can you subordinate, you know, started to challenge me?
But I would suggest that you have a bigger face, you look a bigger person, if you're prepared to listen to so-called, you know, quote-unquote subordinates in your company. That's a sign of strength, not weakness. And, you know, I can remember working for people in the past, one person in particular, mm-hmm. who was an accountant, and he just would not and could not accept the ideas that I had. It wasn't criticism, they were ideas. And so consequently,
no matter whether it's a good one or bad
right.
one, he's just defensive.
It was his way or the highway.
Yeah.
And so consequently, I felt very, you know, I felt unlistened to and very turned off. On the other hand, the chap who owned the company was very open to listening to ideas, had a lot of energy and passion and interest and drive in what he was doing, and I found that very motivating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, actually, when you look at the things that motivate people. You know, very often it isn't people assume it's money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, belief in what you're doing as a company.
Mm-hmm. And focusing on things and ideas and judge by, you know, whether the idea years is good one, instead of, you know, take it personal. You
yeah.
know, you know, you are challenging me or I'm challenging you. I always believe in a Western sort of way of saying that agree to disagree is such a good thing.
Absolutely.
Right. Listen to different points of views, right?
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
the next question, okay, the interest, okay, money thing. Go mm-hmm. to the money thing, because just now we were talking about the leadership. Now,
yeah,
you have to have the interest in making money.
I think that it's more what money can do for you. And it's more what money can do for your life. And, for example, in my circumstances, I can remember when I was 10 years old on holiday with my parents, looking around restaurants, seeing which menu was cheaper. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do that for my family. So that was the motivation, you know, or to give to charitable causes. For example, I sponsor children in Africa, and it's doing stuff like that that's important as well.
It's not the money, but it's the...
what you can do with it.
Yes, what you can do with it. You're
right.
Listening to Studio Plus.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people. Share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushroom.
Something fun.
Something more.
Studio Plus.
I think there's, let's just continue the career builder topic in how to become a good entrepreneur here in China. I think in China, particularly, you know, not the good old days, but in the past, people have had this tendency of looking down upon people who are making money. A small sort of example is a little girl of 6 or 7 years and bought some sort of hair ribbons, you know, mm-hmm. in a market and sell them to classmates, mm-hmm. In the class, you know, her own classmates, and make a few cents out of each. And I noticed that my attitude towards this is that, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want my daughter to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that my best friend, who's the mother of this daughter, mm-hmm. encouraged her. You're doing great because you provide services, because mm-hmm. the market is far away mm-hmm. from the school. Mm. And then the way you bother to go to the market and pay for it and then bring it back and then sell them, you deserve the few cents that you earned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sharp contrast to different values, you know, how mm-hmm. we look at businesses.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And I think it's interesting because I think, you know, if you would look at my parents' generation in the UK, for example, They would say exactly the same. They would talk about people, enterprising people, who'd made money as the nouveau riche, to use a French word.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's exactly the same in that my parents are kind of from the academic classes, and I've chosen to go in a different direction. So it's
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Breaking Bad.
right.
You know, your parents' generation would rather send you to a law school instead of a business school, mm-hmm. right?
Well, exactly. And that's the interesting point, because I think, you know, as and when I have children, I wouldn't necessarily want them to go down the road that I've gone down. I perhaps want them to be a lawyer or an artist or a journalist or something, you know, which I consider to be a little more interesting.
But that's not correct. Right? That's not good for encouraging entrepreneurship or entrepreneurship spirit.
No, it isn't. And I think that in many ways, entrepreneurship is a means to an end. You know, it's a way of providing yourself with the standard of living that you aspire to, or you require, or, you know, you're motivated to gain. But, you know, it's there is once you get to a certain level, I think you see past that, and you see a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, look at Bill Gates, for example,
mm-hmm.
or Bill Clinton. You know, they get to a certain level where they have so much money that they don't want to make any more, and they start to get to what's called a higher plane,
mm-hmm.
and they start to be interested in charitable.
That's the high class entrepreneurship, I call it.
Philanthropist.
Right.
So we talked about the. Are there any other qualities to be an entrepreneur? The interest in, you know, making money, and leader being, you know, strive for the leadership. Other qualities.
Well, for me, I can only ask one question because I'm really tired. Mm-hmm. But okay, so I talked to someone from Singapore, and they say, okay, people in Singapore say, you can start a business in an hour. It's, like, really easy. But I talked to someone from France, and they said it's hard to start a business in France, say, a coffee shop, because there's market saturation, there's, like, no initiative, there's a lot of paperwork, and you also need to prove you have 2 years of self-sufficiency. Where does China lie in terms of becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
That's a good
question. And there is an index called the ease of doing business index, which, and I think China has risen in that level. But, you know, to give you some idea, to set up a wholly foreign-owned entity in China, it takes about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to register a company in the United Kingdom, it takes about 60 minutes.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a certain difference there. And I think, you know,
Robert, you are giving Chinese government a very huge pressure.
Yeah.
Well, to reduce the red stamp. Red tape.
Red tape.
That's right. And in fairness to the Chinese government, I think they are taking steps to make things easier and to make things like dealing with a tax bureau more transparent and just generally cutting red tape at administration. But I think, you know, if you compare being an entrepreneur in China, for example, mm-hmm. to being an entrepreneur in the West, maybe not places in Europe, but certainly in America or the UK.
Which is easier?
I would say,
comparatively speaking,
I would say you need a lot of patience in China.
Here in China, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you need to, you know, the person who is prepared to smile and play the long game wins. The mm-hmm. person that gets easily irritated and
lose out.
You know, loses their temper and stuff and wants everything done and at this second does lose out, as you say.
But the thing is about, you're talking about the overseas businessmen people here, because you need to have, you need to spend time and energy to get familiar with the culture
yeah.
and the society here. So it means that don't frown so quickly.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Put on a smile when you are in front of frustrations.
Well, that's right. And what I always say...
But for native Chinese, yeah. it's a different story. Sometimes, like you said, within half an hour, they would, you know, mm-hmm. get things straight.
Yeah.
And they can get the lessons.
I think...
Because they knew people.
I think that's right. And I think that the native Chinese, obviously, you know, from a cultural
easier.
Perspective, understand the relationships and
the,
how important
the hidden
they
rules.
Are. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But
indeed.
For the Westerners, you know, what I always say is, the question I ask is, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, slice by slice.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I would say to foreign people starting businesses and running businesses here. It won't happen overnight, but if you're good and you're in it for the long term, and you don't, I think the key thing is, you don't see China as this wonderful cash machine that will produce lots of money really easily. A lot of Westerners.
By the way, eating an elephant is illegal here in China.
and everywhere else.
Robert,
keep that in mind.
Robert, I have this question, you know.
Sure.
Do we have to go to a business school before we, you know, get ourselves or engaged in businesses?
No, not at all. I think that there are many, many examples and some quite touching examples in China or appropriate examples in China of people who have come from absolutely nothing. There was I can't remember the name of the person, but there was someone who I think started 25 years ago selling rubbish they found on the street and is now multi.
But what's the point of getting educated in business schools? I mean, all these diploma, quite expensive ones.
Well,
are paying money.
I think actually
for that.
In America right now, MBAs are becoming less popular because there's less
return. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
There's a very famous and entertaining quote from a guy who ran a major British company in China, and he said to us, the first thing you've got to do with someone who's got an MBA is unlearn it. Because, you know, what he wants is people with actual practical, real life experience.
Come out of the cuckoo.
Yeah.
Instead of being refrained in
right.
way of thinking.
But I think to answer your question, I think MBAs do have a place, and they tend to have a place, they tend to be appropriate for major multinational companies which require that kind of specialist skill.
A quick
skills.
Summary of what resources are useful to people who want to start their own businesses.
I think people, human resources are most useful. And I think, you know, specifically in China for a foreigner, mm-hmm. having a support network of other people that have done similar things, people who can help you out when you face unexpected problems, that's the absolute the key thing.
PR skill, human skills.
Absolutely.
And another quick thing, because
sure.
I really don't want to let you go, because the Chinese government actually is encouraging new graduates to start their own businesses,
yeah.
right? And even we are trying to set up venture capitals, and even Premier Li Keqiang is encouraging, President Xi Jinping doing it. But just a quick advice to young students who are graduating, for example, this year, very
yeah.
quickly
yeah.
in summer,
if,
you know, what they need to be armed with before they venture into this entrepreneur sort of troop, I call it.
There are some people in the world, clearly, who are brilliant. There are some Mark Zuckerberg, well, I'm sure many Mark Zuckerbergs in China. But, you know, is everyone that graduates from business with a business major and Mark Zuckerberg? I don't think so. And if I look at my own example, you know, I worked for a very talented guy for 10 years, and I saw that really as an education, an entrepreneur, an educational period in my own life, really, mm-hmm. before I set my own thing up. I always knew I was going to set my own thing up, but I think working and learning how to do it properly stood me in great stead. So, sure, some people clearly will be bright enough to start their own thing straight off.
But the majority...
Yeah, I would say get some experience first.
You should have a real, a correct assessment of your own ability, right,
exactly.
Before you decided what to do.
Right.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
A good conversation between us and Robert Parkinson, founder and
CEO of RMG Selection. We had a conversation about being an entrepreneur in China.
Yes, indeed.
And now with some...
Thank you very much, Robert.